Live from New York City, it's The Gary Null Show. And now, your host, Gary Null.
Hi, everyone. I'm Gary Null. Today, we're going to understand the molecular mechanism for the therapeutic effects of cilantro. Herbs including cilantro have long been used as folk remedies. Well, a new study at the University of California at Irvine shows that they really do help your body in wonderful ways. We'll show you those ways. And we have about 12 other important studies and peer-reviewed literature from important institutions at cutting-edge research, helping you stay healthy and live a longer life. Then today, we have an original, in-depth investigative report, and that report will focus upon Wikipedia and the group that controls it, the skeptics. Our article, Skeptical of Wikipedia Skeptics, Richard Gill and I will lay this out. This has been vetted for accuracy, scholarship, and our legal department. So use it, share it, spread it, send it to every member of Congress, and let them know that any time you go to Wikipedia, unlike, let's say, one of the legitimate encyclopedias, you're getting biased information. There is a cabal that work there, and they control everything about a person's reputation. We're going to deconstruct their legitimacy. We have 53 articles planned from today forward over the next year. So our campaign begins. Yesterday, two of our on-staff lawyers came on the air and read letters. These letters are meant to go to Congress, every member of Congress, but more importantly, they are meant for you to read them. If you agree with them, then let your legislator know. We want open hearings. We want to see the let's say, the protections that historically have been given to Facebook and Google and Wikipedia so they can't be sued to be removed, because every single one of the statements they made originally that they would not engage in, they have engaged in. So they've weaponized social media. It's time we, the people, stood up and took it back. Otherwise, you'll have no sources of honest, legitimate, objective information coming at you on important topics. Well, also, if time permits, we'll take a couple of your calls. Now, we have a number that people can call into and either leave a message if you've heard a show, because most people listen to show on the archives, in which case they're not able to hear it live at noon to 1, Monday to Friday. And that's fine. So what I'd like you to do is write down this number. This is our line that you can call in, our voice, what we call our voicemail. You can ask a question or make a statement. 862-800-6805. 862-800-6805. Now, there are two other numbers I'm going to give you. One is if you just want to listen live anywhere. You just go to any listening device on your computer, a phone, a cell phone, and you can call in and listen. That number is 605-562-7900. Again, 605-562-7900. And then you can download the archives. That number is 701-719-9976. 701-719-9976. So you ask, well, how important is the archives? Well, on my program alone, we're at, I believe, around 112 million downloads. So it gets a lot of use. Starting with the latest on health and healing, we're looking at an herb, a group of herbs. Herbs including cilantro, according to the University of California at Irvine, have a long and storied history of use as folk and folk medicine and as anti convulsions, and until now, many of the underlying mechanisms of how the herbs worked remained unknown. In a new study, researchers uncovered the molecular action that enables cilantro, or Italian parsley, to effectively delay certain seizures, common in epilepsy and other diseases. Now, we just found out last week on this program that lemon juice, 2 tablespoons of lemon juice, can also help turn off seizures. This study, published in the FASEB journal, a scientific journal, explains the actual molecular action of cilantro as a highly potent KCNQ channel activator. And this new understanding may lead to improvements in their therapeutic use and development of how this is used. And when you're in Europe, and it is very common, at least in the mountain areas, in the farm communities. Just imagine to find this. You go into this is an actual firsthand experience. You're invited in. I'm in a Jeep, open-air Jeep, with my buddies, my brothers. And two of my friends speak Italian. They were born in Italy. And one's a medical doctor. And then there's my brothers, and it's a hot day, and I've got my running clothes on. I'm just running through the beautiful countryside, these small roads. And you go from village to village, hamlet to hamlet. There might be anywhere from 6 to 10 homes in one hamlet. Then you run another 4 or 5 miles, and there's another one. And some of these homes are hundreds of years old. We actually were in a home that was 800 years old, and the same lineage, generation to generation, had been there. And when you went into the barn, you could smell the oldness of the wood. And I was interested in the kitchens, and they have these bags, paper bags, with names written on them, and they would collect the fresh herbs, dry them in the barns, and have a name on them, and be hanging by threads or some form of material, and then they go use them. And there's generally one person in that area who is the apothecarist. They know everything about hundreds of herbs. So whatever someone needs, they just say, can we have? And this person suddenly brings over a whole series of concoctions and mixes them up and gives them to people. And that's their medicine. They know they should be outside. They know they should be getting sunlight. They know they should be exercising. You don't see them sitting around watching television all day. It's just wonderful. That is also my experience in South America, in the jungles, in Venezuela, in Brazil, in the Caribbean. I've been everywhere. And it's very common. One person I was in their home in Jamaica, in the backyard, they have all these soursop and chirimoya trees growing. And they say, yes, we use the leaves and the seeds, and we grind it all up, and we use the flesh, and we make this drink out of it. And it was an interesting tasting drink because they blended chirimoya, which looks like soursop, except it doesn't have the little pricklies on the outside. But it tastes a little tangy, almost like it's fermenting, whereas the chirimoya is very sweet. It tastes like a vanilla custard. And they blend the two together. I said, what do you use it for? Oh, cancer. It prevents cancer. And it turns out they are correct. Soursop has strong anti-cancer properties in the leaf and in the fruit itself. And yet, on the one hand, the skeptics and the people who say, oh, this is all unscientific, well, then why don't you ask how many current medications come from the findings of native cultures where they have gone in, found a pomegranate and found a chemical in it that helps the heart and cleans up the arteries, foxglove, digitalis, all these other things you find. There's been botanists and ethnobotanists all over the tropics studying the healing, the natural healing, and find it legitimate. Only someone who's completely ignorant and has not traveled and does not understand the scientific literature would say none of this means anything. It sure does mean everything. Hence, your diet should be the first step in preventing disease. And cilantro and many of these other herbs, including the bitter herbs, the Swiss, the Japanese, the Swiss, and the Swedes are the best at having bitters. They'll drink whole bitter juices. I mean, ones that'll gag you. They have special spas you go to. And you sit there, and all day long you're given these little drinks. And you're given special mineral water. And then you swim in their, or bathe in their mineral pools. They call it taking in the baths. And they'll go there for a week or two to cleanse and detoxify. And it has very strong therapeutic effect. We don't do that in America. We don't take baths in America. We take showers. And we don't take the herbs. And we should. And we don't eat bitters because they're bitter. And we should. You know, we should have start our day with an ounce of lemon juice, an ounce of ginger juice, and an ounce of apple cider vinegar diluted in, let's say, like a green juice. That's a great way to rejuvenate your blood, your red blood cells, help your liver, kidneys, clean up your blood. We don't do it. We should. But the proof is there. From the National University of Singapore, and as well as Yong Lo Lin School of Medicine, a study that shows eating two servings of mushrooms can protect cognitive function and keep your brain healthy. Now, for those who have cognitive decline, if you have Alzheimer's, Parkinson's, ALS, dementia, memory loss, multiple sclerosis, the good news is I'm planning a very different type of program for you. I'm working with a group of physicians and scientists from around the world who, they called me out of the clear blue and said that they've been reading my reports and I'm getting some of the best results in the world of reversing aging disease. And so we had a long conversation just a week ago. So we're going to be doing something special for you in the very near future. When I say the very near future, I mean the very near future. But one of the things I've always had people do who have memory loss or any form of brain problems is I have them eating mushrooms. Now, there's a variety of mushrooms that are edible, but you don't want to eat the raw mushrooms uncooked. Much better to have the mushrooms heated because in the heating process, you release the nutrients and make them bioavailable. And that's when they're really good for you. So according to the university, for many years, mushrooms have been used in traditional medicine for healing purposes. And today these edible fungi, because that's what they are, they're fungus, are continually being studied for the potential health benefits of consuming them. And this recent study found that eating mushrooms can help your brain become sharper and healthier even later in life. And so the key is two servings of mushrooms every week could slash your risk of mild cognitive impairment by 50%. So younger people start eating them now and it can help prevent memory loss and forgetfulness later in life. And if you have memory loss and forgetfulness, start consuming those now. Okay. From Sichuan University in China, published in the Chinese Academy of Medical Sciences and Peking Union Medical College, ginseng, G-I-N-S-E-N-G, the phytonutrient ginsenoside, RG3, was found to be effective against hepatocellular carcinoma. That's important. Natural, non-toxic, and effective. So, and the study goes into all the science behind that. Well, right now people are getting chemotherapy for this with horrific side effects, and there's no side effects to this, and it's good. So again, let me spell this so you have it. You couldn't get this in a regular health food store, but you could get it at a Chinese pharmacy. G-I-N S-E-N-O-S-I-D-E R-G-3. Also, The first human clinical trial suggests the anti-aging benefits of pomegranate, and this is from the École Polytech of Lausanne in France Institute. And they found that taking doses 500 milligrams to 1,000 milligrams of pomegranate, that's a small amount, by the way, made a big difference in your aging. I suggest much more than that. Well, and it also, it helps your microflora, and it stimulates a lot of good biological processes, also helps your muscles. It helps prevent aging, helps your arteries. I would suggest what would be equivalent to eating 2 pomegranates a day, but as a concentrate, and put that in your smoothie in the morning. I helped someone I got an emergency call from a friend who got a call from a friend saying that their daughter was on 17 medications. She's only 14 years old, and she stepped out of a window without realizing that she was stepping out of a third-story window. And when she went over the medications, at least 3 of the medications had suicidal ideation as a side effect. Put her on a protocol. And from what I understand, she's doing well, and I'm happy for that. But when a child is diagnosed with any part of the autism spectrum disorder, remember, it's a spectrum. It's not a condition. It's a series of conditions that can become more or less of a problem. And when it's really more, you got some serious issues to deal with. So we're looking at every piece of the puzzle that can help a person with autism. And there's something brand new that no one knew. I'm sharing it with you for the first time today. This is from Hong Kong's Baptist University. And they found that scalp acupuncture is effective in reducing autism symptoms. Now, you have to go to a licensed clinical acupuncturist. There are a lot of good ones in the United States. Remember, we're heard around the world, so it's not difficult to find, but make sure that they have graduated from state universities and are licensed, and that their needles are sterile and they throw them away after one use. But when you get the acupuncture, have them look up the latest science, and you can take the science with you that shows the acupuncture should be done on the scalp and can help. So that's a big deal, something brand new to help all the people with autism spectrum disorder. There's a berry. I've been taking it maybe for 30 years. It's called Aronia. A-R-O-N-I-A. And according to the latest study from Shahib Baheshti University Medical Science in Iran, it will lower your blood pressure, your cholesterol, your biomarkers for inflammation, and this is based upon a meta-analysis of randomized controlled trials. And what a meta-analysis is doing is looking at many different studies and then looking for common themes that can understand and justify and explain a phenomena that they're seeing. And so this one berry, the Aronia berry, by the way, it's loaded with phytochemicals and anthocyanidins, and it really is great for your lipids. It's plant derived. So just use it if you have an elevated blood pressure or cholesterol or triglycerides. It'll help lower them. And from University of Illinois, plus Zhenjiang Chinese Medical University, published in Nutrition Research, the nicotinamides can help with liver cell death and treating non-alcoholic fatty liver disease. And by the way, tens of millions of Americans, probably 100 million Americans, suffer from non-alcoholic fatty liver disease, which can kill you and become cancerous. And that's because of our high fructose corn syrup more than anything. Now here's something. The nicotinamides, NAD, vitamin B3, those are some good sources, can make a difference. And finally, from NIZAM Institute of Medical Science in India, comes a study about amla. Now, I know a lot of you are taking amla. All you have to do is read a label, and you'll see AMLA. If you're taking some vitamin C products, you'll see, wow, there's some amla. I never thought about it. This is the latest study. Amla can boost endothelial function and immune response and much more. This was a randomized, double-blind, placebo-controlled clinical trial, and it took a look at all these other blood chemistry parameters, and the results were really good. So one more reason to use amla. Now, our endothelia are the lining of all of our veins and vessels throughout our body. And this is where the first stages of heart disease frequently occur, when these get nicked and scraped and little lesions form and a blockage forms. So you clean up your arteries and veins, the epithelium, and you're preventing heart disease for many people. So that's what's important. That's the latest on health and healing. We're going to take a break, and when we come back, I'm going to do my report first. Then after that, I'm going to take some calls from the audience. Then I'm going to open the phones for you to respond to our challenge to the gigantic media behemoths, Google, Facebook, and their propaganda machine that creates content when it's not supposed to, Wikipedia, and how we're taking it on to get it the public to become involved and then get pressure put upon Congress to hold hearings where we, the experts, are allowed to testify and then get their indemnification against being sued revoked. And if we succeed there, then we should do the same thing with vaccines. If we took away the indemnification given to them by Ronald Reagan back in 1986, and it was purely political, then I can promise you there would be no state-mandated efforts at vaccinating, because all the vaccine makers would realize how toxic their vaccines are, and they'd be sued into oblivion. So if you can't sue them, and they don't have to be at all conscious or careful, and they're not, then there's no downside on their side. So that's what we're up to. Let's take a break and come right back. Please stay with us.
Hang in there, baby.
We'll make love tonight.
Don't be afraid.
That'll make it all right. I know just how you feel. Wanna hold you tight.
But we've almost got it made. Now that we've caressed, a kiss so warm and tender, I can't wait till we reach that sweet moment of surrender.
I'd like to welcome all of you for listening in all around the world. Please download and share this article with everyone. We are at a very, very crucial time. We need input. We need to become active. And yet, at a time when we need people to start making changes in their lives, becoming intentionally aware, intentionally educated, and intentionally active, we're doing just the opposite as a majority, only about 3% of the people. That's according to all the studies. And that's why we're doing these articles, to provide you with some context of what happens when you think you're getting objective information and you Google it and you're sent over to find out about genetically engineered food. And you think, well, okay, this says it's safe and effective, so why should I spend extra on organic? That's all nonsense, so I'm just going to keep eating. You trusted the source. Do you even know who these people are? Many times, most times, they're anonymous. Are they credible? We began to do our investigation, and here's a little of what we found. This article is entitled Skeptical of Wikipedia Skeptics. Now, as we've stated on many occasions in previous investigative reports, often it is not what skeptics include on Wikipedia pages that raise concerns for alarm. Equally important are the solid scientific facts that are omitted, removed, or censored, in effect covered up. This is clearly the case for Wikipedia's entries covering genetically modified crops, or GMOs, including pesticides such as glyphosate or Roundup, and the biographies of prominent public advocates for the agrochemical industry. They're given great write-ups on Wikipedia. But someone who challenges the safety of Wikipedia? No. Starting in late 2017, Bayer Monsanto Titanic, they merged. In effect, Monsanto was purchased by Bayer, became its crown jewel because it had one of the most popular selling products in the world, the chemical herbicide glyphosate. And that monster has become punctured. Gaping holes are rapidly sinking profits and stock value as lawsuits mount over the herbicide's carcinogenic effects. Investors are fleeing. The last time I checked, the joint company had lost 47% of its value, especially after a California court awarded a former school groundskeeper, Dwayne Johnson, $289 million in damages for Roundup-caused non-Hodgkin's lymphoma. Two other people have also won claims. In fact, it's 3 out of 3. Now, those have been reduced, but they're still there, and now over 13,000 new lawsuits have been filed. Consequently, without seeming like other, let's say, bogus websites of fabricated and fake news, Wikipedia cannot any longer ignore the world headlines about glyphosate's deadly health risks. Nevertheless, if you visit right now Wikipedia's Roundup and glyphosate pages, you'll have to scroll way down many pages before any truth comes to light. The entry's introductory paragraphs continue to tout outdated, compromised, and false regulatory agency studies favorable to the neoliberal corporate agenda, declaring glyphosate is safe and poses no serious dangers to health of humans. And the latter entry quickly offers the false impression that, quote, consensus among national pesticide regulatory agencies and scientific organizations is that labeling uses of glyphosate have demonstrated no evidence of human carcinogenicity, end quote. But it's not true. Why have we discovered this, but not the New Yorker, New York Times, 60 Minutes? This is not a little or insignificant situation, because glyphosate is now appearing in all human beings, in all of our food, including not just in GMO food, but also some of the organic food as well. Because when it's sprayed, the spray is carried in the air over to some organic fields. To perpetuate this myth, an enormous amount of well-sourced information needed to be excluded, and skeptic editors assure that it is. Beginning in 2017, the French magazine Le Monde published the Monsanto Papers, a series of a dozen investigative reports that earned its authors the European Press Top Investigative Reporting Award in 2018. And the reward is presented to the best reports that discover and reveal facts that have been hidden or concealed from the public and mainstream media. The papers provide detailed and written evidence based upon Monsanto's internal emails and correspondence with paid operatives that the company has taken every opportunity imaginable to manipulate science, to exert retaliatory pressure on regulatory agencies and processes, orchestrated elaborate schemes to aggressively intimidate and discredit its critics, and funded sophisticated public relations campaigns to defend its products against a growing body of scientific evidence that exposed glyphosate's dangers to human health and ecological systems. Now, given the magnitude of the reporter's revelations, we might expect to find it referenced in Wikipedia. But it is absent, nor are the Monsanto papers referenced in the company's Wikipedia entry, which the skeptic and Monsanto PR editors, administrators, make every effort to keep as innocent as feasibly possible. And although there is no entry for the Monsanto papers, and there should be, Wikipedia does include an entry for GMO answers. Okay, that's good. That sounds like we're going to get the truth. But then we dug deeper and found out that a website project started by the agricultural industry to give so-called expert answers to the public concerns about GMOs, health and environmental risks. The project was started by the Council for Biotechnology Information. All right. Who are they? Well, those are not independent scientists with a background in agricultural sciences. They are the gigantic companies, Bayer, BASF, DuPont, Monsanto, and Syngenta. You're talking about the top five seed-producing companies in the world. That's who founded the Council for Biotechnology Information. The initiative is a pseudo-scientific effort to promulgate research that supports GMO safety. The site is so corrupt and compromised by private interest and has largely been ignored by the public that it doesn't warrant a page. Last year, Stacy Malkin, an attorney at U.S. Right to Know, confirmed that tax records show CBI paid the public relations firm Ketchum, that's K-E-T-C-H-U-M, $11 million over a four-year period to manage GMO answers. Ketchum has a long-standing relationship with Monsanto. But none of this is to be found on Wikipedia, which mischaracterizes GMO answers as scientifically neutral. Let me see. Let's just go back a moment. The skeptics on Wikipedia, and hence Wikipedia, and hence Jimmy Wales and its executive committee and board, all of whom sit at the same table, they say that, yeah, we believe that GMO answers is scientifically neutral. No, it is not scientifically neutral because it is controlled by the very people who are giving us these tainted seeds and pesticides, Monsanto, Syngenta, DuPont, Bayer, and BASF. But the public would not know that. You would not know that. We know it. Now you know it. In order to protect Monsanto, skeptics have also had to protect GMO-related entries from the groundbreaking studies conducted by Dr. Gilles Eric Seralini at the University of Cannes in France, where he founded the Committee of Research and Independent Information on Genetic Engineering. In Europe, Seralini has been an outspoken advocate for employing the precautionary principle on GMOs grown with glyphosate pesticide, meaning if it hasn't been proven by independent analysis and study to be safe on animals, the environment, and humans, don't use it. That's the precautionary principle. Wasn't used here. But briefly, a little background. Professor Seralini's two-year study reproduced Monsanto's own safety trials to determine whether there were adverse effects in rats fed genetically modified corn, the same corn you would eat if you go out and buy corn right now, with Roundup. Monsanto's published research only covered 3 months of the rat's life. Interesting, other companies' research only covered 3 months of a rat's life. Now, I've done over 30 years of research as applied and basic scientist, and if I was doing a longevity study or any study on rats, you had to go to the full length of the rat's life. Now, sometimes that could be a year and a half. But if I stopped a study at 3 months, I've learned nothing. It takes the full length to determine, did the rat live longer? Well, in my case, the rats lived up between, depending upon the study, between 20% to 38% longer, depending upon the quality of the food, nutrients, and the type of environment they were in. But you would have to take them to the full length to be able to say, you know, if we gave people better environments, more challenging environments, that they would be happier, less stressed, and live a longer life. Now that research is showing. Hundreds of studies show that green time, being out in nature, allows us to be less stressed and hence less cortisol, less oxidative stress from high cortisol. So it's saving our lives. I was doing this research in 1972. So the idea that everyone only does 3 months, wonder why. You're going to see. So here comes Saraline and his research team, and they went beyond 3 months of the GMO maize rat-fed study for the full life of the animals. They observed profuse cancers and tumors developing, but only after the fourth month of the study. Ah. Now, what's the probability that everyone else in the GMO field knew that if a rat study went longer than 3 months, it was going to show cancer? So stop it before it manifests cancer, and you can say, well, we didn't see any harm in rats. You see how they play this game? They play you? Now, you would think that the people at the CDC and the FDA would seek independent validation. They don't. They never do. They only accept the research given to them from the company wanting one of its products approved. Now, the study of Saraline was peer-reviewed, and it was published in a highly respected journal, Food and Chemical Toxicology. Immediately, it fueled a vicious backlash orchestrated by Monsanto through a variety of scientific trade organizations and corporate front groups organized by Val Giddings, a big agri-lobbyist and a former vice president at the Biotechnology Industry Organization in Washington. To learn about the Saraline study, do not expect to find it referenced on entries directly related to Monsanto and its products. Wikipedia is unconcerned about academic integrity, balance, and objectivity on subjects where contemporary private interests are in heated public debate. The encyclopedia resorts to propaganda, either preferentially pro or con. Therefore, Wikipedia created a separate page called Saraline Study. Now, how would you know to go to that page if you wanted to find out if GMOs were safe? It wouldn't be on the GMO page, and you wouldn't know about Saraline. How many have ever heard of this man and his research team? Now, by the way, they slandered him. He sued and he won. Not one, he won two separate libel suits in France. So, for the past 5 years, skeptic medical sect organizers and people are part of what is called science-based medicine. And it has also stood behind the science supporting Monsanto's glyphosate and GMOs in general. Writing on its website, skeptic Dr. Stephen Novella attempts to make the case that the California Roundup lawsuits awarded to the plaintiffs are scientifically unfounded. Yet, Dr. Novella, along with other skeptic editors protecting Wikipedia's agrochemical pages, have completely ignored all of the Monsanto's own sealed clinical trial data for glyphosate dating back to the latter half of the 1970s. What am I talking about? Who knew this? Well, it was obtained through the Environmental Protection Agency, through a legislatively enforced Freedom of Information Act, submitted by Anthony Samsell, a former scientist with Arthur D. Little and a member of the Union of Concerned Scientists. We spoke with him. As with Big Tobacco's claims that smoking did not cause cancer and was not addictive, the FDA knew that that was not true, but chose to protect the profits and proprietary interests of the tobacco industry, so too the EPA sat on evidence of Roundup's health risks for decades. Dr. Samsell received over 15,000 pages covering Monsanto's research that has never been made public. Monsanto conducted hundreds of trials on mice, rats, beagle dogs, rabbits, and other life. So what did they find out that they kept secret? Well, among the many cancers and diseases Monsanto's own research found associated with glyphosate, adenocarcinoma in the pituitary gland, glioma tumors in the brain, cell sarcomas in the heart, malignant tumors in the lungs, salivary cancer, a sarcoma, metastatic sarcoma of the lymph gland, prostate carcinoma, cancer of the bladder, thyroid carcinoma, adrenal cell sarcomas, cortical adenoma cancer, basal cell squamous skin cancers. That's just a tiny bit of what Monsanto had been finding and hiding. That means that a group of individuals, including scientists, executives with the company, had to have met and said, look, if we submit this information to the FDA or the USDA or whoever was overlooking this safety, it's going to be knocked down. So they decided to keep all this to themselves, and the EPA knew all of this, and yet the EPA has not been charged on violating the public trust. It was put in place, and Ralph Nader was personally responsible for the creation of our EPA. Without him, there'd be no EPA. And yet they're serving the interests, the special interests, not the American public. So the next time someone tells you, any scientist on television or any of the talking heads that are brought up from these AstroTurf groups or these different groups that are affiliated or receive money from Big Agra, just remember, they're lying. We have 15,000 pages of documents of Monsanto's own studies showing how deadly and dangerous glyphosate is. In female mammals, there were cancers of the lung, liver, thymus, stomach, bladder, adrenal glands, ovaries, colon, uterus, parathyroid, and mammary glands. Whether it concerns GMOs, pesticides, vaccines, or conventional drug-based medicine, Wikipedia's foremost egregious fraud is its sole reliance upon sources that only promulgate private corporate interest. Is that what Congress intended? Because that's what they created. Second, by supporting the recruitment of skeptics who hold with missionary zeal an ideological agenda to trumpet scientific materialism to be the senior editors of these subjects, Jimmy Wells and his foundation are shamefully deceiving the public and jeopardizing the health of potentially hundreds of millions of people. So I could then project my own opinion that Jimmy Wells is and has been the most dangerous person on the planet. How so? I thought it was John Bolton. I thought it was Donald Trump. I thought it was Vladimir Putin. I thought, yeah, they're all dangerous because they could end up getting into wars, and not probably traditional, but nuclear war. And that would be a mammoth mistake. But there is a deterrence factor. You go using weapons of mass destruction on someone today, especially Russia or China, they're going to destroy America. I mean, the whole nation would be destroyed. They have that capability. Just imagine this. Right now, in Afghanistan, the Taliban are winning. They control 70% of the country. This is after 18 years of being there and throwing billions upon billions of dollars and a lot of human lives, ours and innocent civilians. And those guys are riding around on horses or in jeeps. Imagine what a full standing army that has nuclear weapons could do. So there is some deterrence there. Self-adjusted suicide. We kill you, you kill us. But with something you eat that everybody eats, corn and wheat, yeah, and dairy and fruits and vegetables, soybeans, or the meat that comes from eating that soybean, then you've put an entire world at risk. Because if you study, and Richard Gale, one of our scholars in residence, has worked in the genetic industry, in the genome projects, he has a very strong background. And one thing we always have a discussion on, the science is clear on, when you eat something that's genetically engineered, how do you know that that gene that has been genetically engineered will not alter itself and become a part of your gene and then alter your gene in ways that no one predicted? Surely there have been human studies, long-term human studies, on these substances before. No, no studies at all. Meaning we are the guinea pigs? Yeah, we're the guinea pigs. But their own studies, 15,000 pages that had to be brought out through a Freedom of Information Act and the pressure of a Vermont senator? Yeah. So here you have all of these cancers and other diseases from your product, and you're putting it out there, and Wikipedia is protecting you? Well, shame on Jimmy Wells. Now, Wikipedia's entry for Kevin Folta lauds him with undeserved praise. Folta holds the chair of horticulture sciences at the University of Florida, who has been on the forefront for advocating agricultural genetic engineering. Now, that's his right. I don't question that. There is no mention of veteran journalist Carrie Gillum's investigations revealing that Folta, quote, became a favorite friend for Monsanto and its public relations teams around 2013 as they looked for people to help them combat GMO labeling efforts, end quote. By the way, I was one of the people, if you remember, heading that whole movement, Jeffrey Smith and myself. I did the documentary Seeds of Death that was shown over 84 times, according to Sherry, the special programs director at the Colorado Public Television Station, Rocky Mountain TV, the most she's ever showed a special in the documentary in its history, because people wanted to keep seeing it to get educated, because that's where one of the votes were going on about GMOs. But they had the money. We didn't. We had the truth. They didn't. They won in California, Oregon, Washington State, and hence we didn't know, is this food genetically labeled or genetically engineered? There was no label. So, quote, however, starting in 2015, evidence emerged that, in our opinion, demonstrated that Folta was not an independent free-thinking scientist as he led others to believe. It became enough of a national scandal that Nature magazine, the New York Times, Nature Biotechnology, and other publications were compelled to report about it. Wikipedia likewise had to address the controversy. What New York Times writer Eric Lipton discovered was that the talking points Folta relied upon as he lectured across the nation were those drafted by the public relations firm Ketchum. Remember them? On behalf of the agricultural companies. It was also discovered that articles attributed to Folta on the GMO Answers website were actually ghostwritten by Ketchum. Wikipedia ignores these important findings that should convincingly and deservedly put Folta's character into a questionable public light. Skeptics controlling Folta's Wikipedia entry also reference Stephen Novella, who has no background in industrial agriculture, who defends Folta. Novella and Folta are colleagues at the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry and have shared the stage together at skeptic conferences. Novella is a leading skeptic in science-based medicine sect and a prominent thought leader in the skeptic movement. In his article, No Health Risks from GMOs, published in the journal Skeptic Inquirer, the major publication for the Committee for Skeptical Inquiry, a program funded by the Center for Inquiry, argues, quote, there is no solid scientific consensus that currently approved GMO crops are safe for human consumption. They're saying they are safe for human consumption. He attempts to convince readers that public fears about GMOs are scientifically unfounded and disparages any need for the precautionary principle. This is despite the scientific evidence to the contrary. A study published in the International Journal of Human Nutrition and Functional Medicine examined 3,000 people who had switched from a standard heavily laced GMO diet to a non-GMO diet. The results showed 84% reduction in digestive problems, 60% decrease in fatigue, 51% reduction in mental problems such as anxiety and depression, and a lessening of food allergies by 50%. Other health conditions showed improvement, including memory and concentration, joint pain, gluten sensitivities, and insomnia. Mark Linus is a British author and journalist and a former Greenpeace activist who is currently at the Cornell Alliance for Science, an industry-funded public relations campaign situated on the campus of Cornell University. As a former radical warning about climate change, Linus since then advocates on behalf of industrial agriculture and genetic engineering and nuclear and perhaps having come to some realization that it is far more financially lucrative to join the enemy. Since then, Linus has, in our opinion, become a persona for the GMO advocates. Surely switching sides has been profitable as well. And he receives funding from the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation to promote PR efforts to gain the public's acceptance of genetically modified organisms. In conclusion, this is the situation we have before us. Monsanto's own sealed files, an expert whistleblowing testimony during three separate lawsuit trials, and multiple investigative reports should convince us that the company deserves its position as one of the most hated corporations in the world. Monsanto's development of perhaps the most dispersed poison on the planet and knowingly lying about its health risk is perfectly in keeping with its overarching character. This is the same company that gave us DDT, Agent Orange, PCBs, aspartame, and bioengineering a bovine growth hormone for dairy products. In every situation, Monsanto profited first from these products. Then it hired scientists at universities and funded research to validate its products. And finally, the company lied about their toxicity and dangers to the environment. In the courtroom, until more recently, the company consistently walks away after paying paltry fines. No executive is held criminally liable. Yet, It is the so-called Silicon Valley God King, Jimmy Wales, and his motley band of Wikipedia skeptics, bereft of any experience in the subjects they edit, who hide the truth and disseminate misinformation. In turn, they become the arbiters of what is perceived as being the truth of all things related to GMO, health, and medicine. I'm Gary Knoll. I want to thank you for listening. Please download this and share it to as many people as possible. Download the two letters to Congress and share your concerns with your legislators. And for those of you who didn't sign up for my premiere Thursday, I'm sorry it is sold out. But my only suggestion, this is just a suggestion, is sometimes people don't show up. And there are seats available if they don't. So you can go to the theater, go to WBAI's website, and they'll give you information on that. If any seats become available, I'll let you know in an upcoming program. Have a nice day, everyone.